a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. We got to get out to the phone line now, and former BYU safety Austin Lee is jumping on with us right now. Austin, thanks for taking some time, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We had a blast watching you recently in the East-West Shrine game, making some plays, some tackles. What was that experience like?
It was a good experience. It was a full week, and so it had great exposure with some scouts, former college coaches, players, NFL coaches, staff members. And so there's a lot of that went into it, and it made it a fun experience throughout the week to be able to learn from those types of people and to be able to improve my game as well and understand what's expected in the next level.
Ended up with four tackles in the game, and what type of feedback throughout the week did you get maybe from NFL personnel and NFL scouts and GMs? What type of feedback were you receiving throughout the week as far as maybe your potential in the draft and whatnot?
I had some great conversations, and some of those conversations obviously were input of how I can perfect my craft. And in the NFL, they like one speed, and they just want you to go as fast as you can. And so with a time like this of learning the playbook and stuff, it's just it's crucial that you know what you're doing, but you got to be playing fast. And so that's one thing I noticed, is that you can be very aggressive and play as fast as you want, and they'll love it. And so that was some good input that I got. And so a lot of that input as well is just go 100% what you're doing and be aggressive and trust your instincts. And so, like I said, it was a great experience to learn from those types of people.
We're talking with former BYU safety Austin Lee. So what do the next couple weeks and months look like for you as you get ready for, obviously, I think Pro Day at BYU, but are you training? Is there, what are the next couple steps like for you?
Yeah, so obviously I just finished the East-West Shrine game. I had an injury for the bowl game in the last few weeks of the season, and so it was kind of a rush of trying to get healthy for that and train at the same time. And so I found a good balance of that, and I've been actually going with Pendleton Performance here in Utah, and he helped me get ready for that and had some good connections with rehab as well. And so I've been going to him, and I'm still going to be going to him until Pro Day. And so I've been training with him on the daily, and then that's what my schedule kind of looks like. And I'll also key in the other aspects of it with nutrition and dial in you know, the rehab portions just to make sure my body is at functioning at 100% and that there's no setbacks for me come pro day. And so a lot of it is just soaking up, you know, football knowledge as well, football IQ, and then making sure my body and mentality is at tip-top shape.
With your limited experience so far throughout this process, and it's going to continue to evolve in the coming months, but yeah, how has it been to kind of represent BYU? Maybe what's the view of BYU in these circles now? Because there's a bunch of BYU guys now tearing it up in the NFL. Taysom Hill, Fred Warner, Jamal Williams, Dirty Dan Sorensen. I mean, are people drawing the comparison saying, hey, are you the next Dirty Dan Sorensen?
Yeah, you get a lot of, you know, different type of stereotypes when you go to these all-star games and talk to a lot of different type of teams. And just from the input I get from other players, obviously, is they always like to talk about the honor code, and they also like to talk about games that you've had with them. And so I can't remember who it was. I think it was Michigan State, a big DN. I mean, he remembered who Taysom Hill was, and he didn't know he was the guy, you know, the quarterback playing for the Saints, and the guy, you know, the guy that had all those roles. He figured out really quickly when I was like, yeah, he's the guy that's at the Saints. And so he just remembered him as a phenomenal athlete. I don't think he remembered that he went to the Saints, but now he definitely remembers them over there. And so kind of probably comforted him a little bit knowing that he teared them up in the, you know, in the league as well. And so, yeah, obviously having guys like Taysom, Fred, Danny, Sorensen has definitely helps the stereotype of a BYU athlete. And so it was fun to talk to those types of players and even coaches that know those types of people.
Austin, you had an outstanding senior season. You're getting some recognition for that now. I'm kind of curious, as you go through this draft process, how much stock is put on what you did throughout your college career versus how much stock is put in what you're about to do, the pro day and kind of the measurables?
Yeah, so, I just feel like I haven't even reached, you know, half of my potential. Like, I feel like there's just so much more into me and what I have, and, you know, whatever that was the case and stuff, I just feel like I have more in me. And so, you know, throughout this process, it's been just trying to get me to tip top shape. And for the measurables, I feel like I've always been able to establish a very good, numbers. And so running the 40 will be huge. The vertical will be huge for me, you know, the bench, the pro shuttle, everything will be important for me as an athlete. Maybe not having the type of numbers other people had in their career, statistics-wise. But, like, overall, I feel like the attention that I've been able to get lately has really helped me and get some eyes on me as well and to rewatch my tape maybe. And so I have a lot more, I feel like, in me. And I think maybe something that might separate me from other types of athletes, you know, everyone will run pretty well and whatnot, but I feel like I have a high football IQ and mature understanding as well from, you know, having bounced place to place and throughout my process. So hopefully I can separate myself from those types of measures.
And I know all of Cougar fans everywhere are excited for you, Austin, because you had a heck of a career at BYU, and we're excited to all see you have the success you're about to have in the National Football League and beyond. And I'm curious, though, you know, what areas do you feel BYU prepared you for the National Football League? Was it, you know, just maybe the scheme that BYU plays? Like, what areas do you think helped you the most at BYU that got you ready for this endeavor, or is it just completely different?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that popped up in my mind when you asked, you know, what prepared me the best, I think the coaches I had and the coaches I was surrounded with, specifically my position coach, Coach Hadley, and what he did for me to understand my role and to understand the whole defense and what offenses are trying to do, and by having a higher football IQ type of understanding. I mean, he was willing to come in and watch extra film with me every morning. And so now I was just grateful for him and the knowledge that I gained from him that had prepared me to be able to understand the plays that were coming in games. And there was multiple times that I knew exactly what they were going to do, and not necessarily all the time, but there was times where I was 100% confident of what play they were running. And it was all credit for him and how he helped prepare me during the week to be able to do that. And then on top of that, he just, you know, trusted me enough to be able to help me use my athletic ability and go with my instincts. And so I never felt like I was stepping on, you know, rocks or anything or stones, but he really prepared me. And, you know, it's the same thing with Coach Satake, Tuiaki, and all those guys. They just have a lot of trust and care in you. And, you know, it's very comforting when they have that type of personality towards you.
Speaking of BYU, it was a kind of an up and down year last year. There were some really high moments with some outstanding wins. Tennessee comes to mind, USC, of course, and then a couple losses that I'm sure you guys wish that you had won those games. What do you think this program needs to do going forward to get back to a level where they're competing for 10, 11 win seasons?
I think they got to realize just how great they are, obviously. You know, they got some phenomenal athletes, and I think it's a day in, day out type of mentality that you got to have of progressing. You know, you can't just have one loss and you know, have down times, or you know, your mentality has just got to be, you know, on a linear up the whole time. Because I mean, there's times where you're gonna have adversity set in, and it's how you're going to respond to that. That, I mean, everyone says it's pretty cliche, but it's true. I mean, there's so many times that you can let distractions set in, whether it's school or family or football, and you know, people have different things that come to life, and you got to respond to them and prioritize what you want in life. And when they do that, they're great. They're going to be a great team. And you know, they're going to get back to 10, 11 wins. You know, I can see it. They just got to get over the hump and realize that there's a lot more potential in them. And when they want to play, they can play. And so it's just a mindset that they got to have, you know, consistently, you know, day in, day out, play by play. You know, they got to understand responsibilities, be task oriented, and, you know, focused on the moment at hand rather than weeks or years in advance, but the moment at hand to get better and the opportunity to get better, and then they'll capitalize on it. So I think it's just being able to realize, you know, that they got to improve every single day.
Well, congrats on your BYU career, Austin. I know for Matt and I, it was a pleasure covering your career. You were great to talk with and interview, and you were great. I think you embody what a BYU student-athlete should be, being a football player, a married man, and a father. You're a great guy and ambassador of what BYU is about, and we appreciate you taking so much time out of your day to talk with us, and wish you nothing but the best going forward into the National Football League. We'll be cheering for you.
No, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate the time you had to talk to me as well.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be back with more after this.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.